The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
You're right. It is Friday. That means Fire Away Friday here on Exploring the Word, where we take your phone calls and we give an answer as quickly as we can and as thoroughly as we can in a short period of time. And the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. Alex, are you still in Texas, brother?
Praise the Lord, I am still in Texas, and I just want to give a big shout-out to all the wonderful people at Belton, Texas, and Fort Hood, and all these people around here. Had an amazing, amazing night last night. Got to preach at the, it was an open house banquet for Jail Ministry Incorporated, jailmin, jailmin.org. An amazing lot of notable people there, and I got to preach and hear about what God is doing to reach inmates behind bars, and so that's just really an honor.
Amen. Are you staying around for some more this weekend or headed back?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, no, I'm here Friday night, all day tomorrow and Sunday. I'm going to be here in Texas to preach, and we're going to be at Lake Forest Baptist Church. And tonight, if you're in this area, folks, I'm going to be doing a free seminar on apologetics and how to answer the most common objections about the gospel. We're going to, you know, Bert, when we do these things, we kind of let the Spirit lead, and we'll talk about the trustworthiness of the Bible and the proof of Christ's resurrection and, you know, basically just how to share the gospel and hopefully in answering questions, you know, point people to Christ, lead people to Christ. So today and all day tomorrow, come on out, Lake Forest Baptist, if you're in the Belton, Texas area, and I would love to meet you.
Okay, brother. Well, I hope it goes good. Let me share this before we go to the first phone call. We have people that call that can't get through on the line, and they go to Word at AFR.net or Facebook and ask questions. I've responded to some when they're kind of personal and cannot be answered over the, you know, what I feel like over the radio. But we haven't answered a lot of them lately because we've been gathering them. And what we're going to do, you're coming in a week or two here and be right on campus. And we're going to take those questions and we're going to answer them in a pre-record program, maybe even two of those programs. And we'll identify that, you know, as good as we can, and that people will know it's going to happen. And so you're going to get your questions answered, word at afr.net or Facebook. Amen. So hang in there. Don't give up on us. We're going to get to them.
Hey,
so,
Bert.
Yes.
I got to correct myself. Here's where I am, folks. Lake View Baptist. Lake Forest. No, it's Lake View Baptist, and it's on State Highway 317. That's where I am tonight, all day tomorrow, and Sunday. Lake View Baptist Church, not Lake Forest. So Lake View, my mistake.
Well, I just got to say something. If I went as much as you did, I would not know where I was at any time. You do good. You beat everything. We do
living,
pray for you.
Living at the foot of the cross,
you
brother.
You are. And you're an evangelist. You're true. And we appreciate that. And we want people to pray for you, Alex. And we mean that because you're on the road quite a bit, in the air quite a bit. And so we thank God, pray for you and Angie as you as she stays there and as you travel so much. So anyway,
so
thank
blessed.
You, brother. Yes. Well, let's
888-589-8840. I'm going to give this number, folks. We'll take your Bible questions, 888-589-8840.
Okay, we got some lines that are open, so you can get in. But we got a line here that is full from Jim from Arkansas. Jim, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, guys. I've been reading the Old Testament. Am I the only one that sees the resemblance between what happens and the things in the Old Testament as what's going on today? Cursings and blessings because we didn't take care of our blessings. Abortion, the gay agenda, the transgender, things like that, our blessings have turned to curses. And the storms, what happened in Las Vegas, the fires in California, And something we don't talk enough about is our attack, is the attack on our men in blue. I think these are attacks by the dark side. But, you know, you can read the Old Testament and apply a lot of that to the New Testament. I know we have the New Covenant, and Christ is our fulfillment. But, you know, Solomon said, you know, it's all, you know, nothing changed. It's all been here before.
Well,
I mean,
Jim,
am I wrong on that?
Well, Jim, let me give you the New Testament here. I think you're right on. Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That's it. For who sows to the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let me just put a few words here in verse 8 and change it. For he sows to the flesh, there will be cursing. But he who sows to the Spirit, there will be blessing. Alex, you know, there was a time when we did not blame everything on it. By that I mean, it's the wind is it's blowing, it's coming. It was God in charge, and to try to be a little bit more, I don't know, humane, or maybe a little bit more in a upper society. We don't want to say, well, the storms and the earthquake coming from God. Now, I know we live in a fallen world, so those things happen. But there was a time when people looked at it and knew that, well, God could have kept it from us, but he's permitted it. There's a fine line. Jim is right on, but at the same time, can you take it too far?
Well, yes. And, you know, I do see what the caller is saying about how some of the Old Testament circumstances do, in a way, resemble ours. You know, in Judges 17 and in Judges 21, in both of those scriptures, we read the phrase, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And, you know, whether it's, you know, self-made religion, you know, believing you can create your own view of God and your own religion, your own way to heaven, whether it's denial of truth and tearing down moral boundaries, whether it's immorality and sexual sin or child sacrifice. Hey, listen, whether you're killing children to appease the god Molech, or you're killing children just for convenience and your own personal wealth and agenda for life, I do think a lot of the godlessness, and I'll say it, Bert, lawlessness, godlessness, heathenism of the Old Testament, we see it played out in our culture today, don't we?
We do, and there will be results.
Yeah.
You sow to that, you're going to reap cursing. You're going to reap those things that are detrimental. And I agree with Jim. I understand that. Do you take it further, blame everything on something that, you know, we live in a fallen world, so some bad things are going to happen. And you cannot take everything that happens to you back to a direct disobedience for something that has happened in your life. Sometimes you can, but sometimes it's just because we live in this fallen world that sin is in the world. So, but I think that's a good thing to do. And you the Bible says, examine yourself, you know? So yeah. I think you should examine, is that from a result of a sin that you need to confess as a person, as a church, or even as a nation? And I know we need to confess our sin of abortion.
And let me say this, Bert. There, you know, we often use the word unbeliever, as in somebody who doesn't know about Christ. We live in an age of what I would call disbelievers. an unbeliever is one thing, but we live in a time of really fairly arrogant disbelievers who they do know about Jesus, but they just flat out reject it.
That's it. Jim, thank you for your call, brother, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Maria. Maria, welcome.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm hearing what everybody is saying, and to change it from unbelievers to disbelievers, that's just semantics. We need to look at what's actually going on and see God in it. God said, the Bible says, every knee shall bow. And knees are bowing. And we're giving credit to the people that stand with their arms locked. That looks defiant to me. I'm not into football. I could care less about the stuff. But the knee bowing. And we Christians, we're tied up in this political stuff to where we don't see it. And we're always playing catch up. Prayer taken out of school. Where was the Christian? Abortion rights. Where was the Christian? Now the gays, that situation. Where are the Christians? When somebody bow their knee, there is no other example you could put to that except bowing your knee to God. And this nation needs prayer. And that gesture cannot be tied to anything else. Anything else. You cannot tie bowing your knee to anything else. Every knee shall bow.
Okay, Maria. Listen, Alex, you and I have not gone into that area. And other programs have, and we have deliberately kind of stayed away from that area of our life. I know for me, I decided I'd just give up NFL football for right now. Regardless of, Maria, what you're saying, regardless, it is an act of rebellion on their part. That's where it came from. And so there's, using a symbol that might be good to try to convey something else. Sometimes those are difficult things to ascertain. But one day, the good part about it, it says every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will happen one day. Every knee will bow. The issue is when and where, isn't it?
It really is. And ma'am, I want to say thank you for listening. It really means a lot to us. And let me say, in the course of programming, when we on Exploring the Word, we talk about the Word of God, we talk about the gospel, and occasionally we'll talk about current events too. And between Bert and myself and even callers, sometimes you hear different perspectives, and we in love and grace, we try to hear everybody out. Let me just say, you were talking about the players that link arms and were standing, and you said that looks defiant, and I understand, and we don't want to be like we're shaking our fist at the world. But I will say this, for the players who stood for the national anthem to honor our Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and flag, they stood, and I will say I appreciated that for this reason. We didn't pick this fight. Those of us that love the country and love to honor the national anthem and the veterans, my dad included, lost an eye in World War II. He was a veteran. I know that standing with arms linked, they didn't mean it to look defiant, but they were trying to show, look, we're unified, we love the country. And it wasn't the Patriots that picked this fight, was it, Bert?
No, it was not. And again, you can use symbols any way you desire. The whole thing is an attitude of a heart. There's some attitude of rebellion that is wrong. And then you have those that want to unite and be together and to celebrate what God has given America. And we need to stand on the side of saying we want to do that which is good in the sight of the Lord. We'll be back with more right after this break.
American Family Radio. Your partnership makes a difference.
My name is Mike. A year ago, after trying to take my own life, when I got out of the hospital, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I asked the Lord to help me find a gospel station I could listen to help me, and I found AFR, and I've been listening to it every day. The preaching, the teaching, the music has blessed me so much, has given me strength through this past year to help me overcome all of my problems I had in my life. And I just love him. Appreciate y'all so much. Y'all have really blessed me.
Ensure that we impact even more lives. Join us for our 3-day Share-a-thon beginning October 17th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Dr. Tony Evans says an inventor so talented that he can make something out of anything is still no match for God, who can make anything out of nothing. We'll take a look at why the Bible calls God Elohim, the all-powerful creator, as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. He says he created the worlds, plural, without having any raw material to work with. Now, I don't know how many inventors you know, but you don't know any inventor who invented something with nothing. When he told Abraham and Sarah, I know you're 100, and I know you're 90, and I know you're barren, and you laughed when I told you you were going to get pregnant. And then he raised the question, is there anything too hard for me? That's why when Mary, the mother of Jesus, was contemplating, I'm a virgin, I have never been with a man, yet you're telling me I'm going to have a baby. And it says she pondered in her heart, how can this thing be? And the angel came to her and raised a very practical question, is there anything too hard for me? Whatever situation in your life and you're trying to figure out how is this going to work, when is this going to work, how is God going to turn this around, you got to remember his name is Elohim, which means he does not need raw material to work with.
The Bible uses many names, like Elohim, to describe God. Each one teaches us lessons about the Lord's character and capacity that can connect us with his peace and power. Learn all about them in Dr. Evans' book, The Power of God's Names. Available online at tonyevans.org. Then be sure to join us again next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Today is Fireaway Friday. We're taking phone calls, so we're going to go straight to those phone lines and go to Virginia and talk to Garland. Garland, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Garland.
Yes, sir. I got a question for you, and this has been one that's kind of been burning for me for a while, so I'm so thrilled to get through to you. I appreciate you guys so much. My wife is a state trooper with Virginia. She listens to you all the time, and she's very humbled and very thankful for what you guys do.
Amen. Thank her. Give her our appreciation for what she does. Pass it on, truthfully.
Yes, sir. She's wonderful. She lost a dad to the military, unfortunately, and stuff. And so we really appreciate your show. But a burning question I have is in Acts chapter 5, when it's talking about Ananias and Sapphira, however you want to pronounce her name, and they sold a portion of land, and of course Peter along with he said asked why Satan had filled his heart to lie not only to man but basically to God, and of course they died. And the question I'm asking you, I have heard pastors and people state that basically they were saved and that they went to heaven, but that doesn't make sense to me. And these are some higher respected type pastors, ministers. I don't want to give their name because I really don't want to discuss that and who they are, but I don't understand how they could be struck dead, but yet they would still see heaven as their permanent home. Can you comment on that or give me some insight?
Okay, Garland, again, thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your wife and calling. Ananias and Sapphira. Alex, let me see. Let me give you one Old Testament. And Jim got us started this afternoon saying, you know, the Old Testament, can we learn from it even with the judgments we come in? Moses died early. Now, he didn't die as quick as Ananias and Sapphira, but he died early because of disobedience, complete disobedience against God when he struck the rock and God said, you'll not go into the land. And it says his eyes were not dim, nor his natural abilities faded. He was strong and ready to go in. His body could have gone into the land. So sometimes, Garland, and again, Ananias and Sapphira, we don't know everything about every detail, but sometimes, yes, God takes believers out, and he takes them out quickly, and he takes them out really a little bit before they could have been taken out. Go ahead, Alex.
And caller, thanks for listening, and thanks for a really, really, really good question. You know, Bert, I think about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Ephesians 5, it says not to have among you a hint of sexual immorality or covetousness. Now, what did Ananias and Sapphira covet? Well, apparently material goods, money, but also the accolades of the church. I have always heard, and I believe, that Ananias and Sapphira were saved, but they got into sin. Now, in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it talks about, quote, all the believers. You know, it's talking about they did this, they preached the gospel, they shared with each other, and it does mention Ananias and Sapphira in the context of all believers. If you read in Acts 5, verse 3, when Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So apparently they knew about the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So they do seem to have been a part of the family of faith. But here's the thing, it's kind of hard to get our mind around, that true born-again believers can often get into sin. Now they shouldn't. And sometimes, Bert, somebody who is a child of God can look like they're not a child of God. But, you know, I think about this, and you and I talked through the book of Hebrews, and in Hebrews it talks about sons being disciplined. This was some rather severe discipline, but, and you know, it talks about in Acts 5:11 that fear and reverence seized the church. I tend to think they were believers, but they were in sin. And they were certainly reprimanded for it, weren't they?
If I had to come down on a side whether they were saved or not, believers, I would say they were. But again, we're not given everything. And a lot of times we make judgments on what we have is called limited information, not only from a biblical point of view, but also in the world we live in today. I hear it all the time. A Christian would not do that. And when I look at the Bible and see some of the things that those who followed God did, I have to back away from that statement. So Garland, there's evidence that they were saved with the things that Alex has said, but yet at the same time, you can come to the place when Jesus gave the illustration, the parable of the four soils. Mm-hmm. You know, one, we know the first one did not sprout, and they went away. And we know the last one, the soil, when the seeds went in and they produced. There's questions about those other two, Alex.
This does. I know we need to get back to the calls. And, folks, I'll give the number if you want to call in, 888-589-8840. But the story of Ananias and Sapphira brings up a related topic that you don't hear. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody preach on it. It comes out of 1 John chapter 5, and I bet you can guess what it is, Bert. The topic of yep. What?
The unpardonable sin, or what was it?
The sin unto death.
Yeah, sin unto death. Yeah, that's it.
And so there is, you know, based on 1 John 5:16, it says, if anyone sees a brother sinning a sin that is not unto death, let him warn the brother. So apparently, and this is, you know, getting kind of deep into the Christian walk and really an admonition to live for Christ. And if you are convicted, if you know of something in your life, you do need to repent of it, because apparently a believer can get into such a position of sin that God takes them out before they do more damage to the church and to themselves.
Garland, we hope you enjoyed our discussion with it. This is, as Alex said, this is the first time we've been asked that question. So you heard some fresh discussion on that today. So thank you so much. Let's go to Texas and talk to Craig. Craig, welcome.
Hello, man. In fact, I'm in Belton, Texas. I just happened to turn you all on earlier as I left Walmart here in Belton.
Oh, okay.
And found out that Alex is in the area. In fact, he's just right down the street from where I was at.
Wow. Well, good to meet you, friend.
Yeah, you too, sir. Anyway, there's so much on my heart right now hearing the conversations going on I'd like to comment on, but I'm just going to keep it to my original intent, and that is that the way men today at the church, you know, men who are born again and men of God, I tell you, they're so mamby-pamby, it seems like now. And I find myself many times, especially in the church, having discussions with other men that, man, I really find myself being very bold and just kind of straighten them out a little bit. I hate to use that word. That sounds bad. But I'm seeing the world creeping into the church and much of the stuff that's going on. And the American church is very, very weak because instead of us changing the world has been changing the church. And I think, what is that scripture about the traditions of man makes the word of God of non effect or something like that? And we're allowing things to come into the church that 30, 40 years ago you wouldn't think about. And it has weakened the church greatly. But I find myself in the church being quite bold in speaking of these things. And it's just like I can't help it. It's like, I don't like to even use the term of this righteous indignation because I know I have no righteousness but in Christ. But that's, I don't know any other way to explain it. I can't keep my mouth shut. It has to come out to, you know, to tell them what the truth is and to show them the error of their way. And I'd just like to know what you think about that.
Amen, Craig. Bible makes it plain that we're to speak the truth, and it says we're to speak the truth in love. And what happens with me, Craig, and I'm just going to make this kind of a testimonial and a confession combined to both you and Alex, sometimes my passion sounds like anger. It comes across that way sometimes, Alex, because I'm so passionate about the issue of life, so passionate about the issue of a biblical marriage that it comes across. We need to be bold. And Craig has hit on that, and I loved his term. We've been mamby-pamby long enough, haven't we?
I think the Greek word there is mamby-pamby, and we want to avoid that. I mean, really.
Amen.
You know, Bert, I call it convictions.
Yeah.
We need to be people of conviction. God is real. And let me just say this. Don't ever be afraid to affirm what the Word of God clearly says. Listen, the Word of God presents God, the Creator. There is zero place for evolution in the Word of God. There is zero place for universalism. That, you know, we believe in Jesus. Jesus said He was the one and only Savior. Marriage is between a man and a woman for life. Life is sacred. And listen, we're not being judgmental. The Word of God says what it says. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. But we need to be men of conviction.
Amen.
That where God has clearly spoken, we will clearly stand.
That's right. And Craig, thank you for your encouragement. And hey, brother, keep it up. And speak boldly, speak lovingly, and the world needs to hear it. And we're praying that our pulpits, our lecterns, our teacher, if you sit, whatever you do, if you've got a small group, be bold about the Word of God and its truthfulness, and I pray you will. Let's go, and I'm Evan from Alabama. Evan, welcome to Exploring the Word. Did I say that right? Evan, are you there? Evan? Is it Evan or Evan?
Lorraine.
Lorraine? Okay, Lorraine.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lorraine. I'm sorry. Sometimes we don't communicate here in the booth correctly. So welcome.
No problem.
Go ahead, Lorraine.
I'm forgot what I was going to say.
I messed you up. Hey, the scripture here.
An old Christian.
Yeah.
New in her walk again. Just recently, in the last month, I have picked up my Bible again. I've started listening to Christian radio, which I didn't do before. I'm really walking and having this personal relationship with Christ is what I'm trying to say. I didn't know anything about it. I thought just going to church, you know, every week was it, you know, praying throughout the week. I didn't know what it meant to have a relationship. So now that I'm studying the scriptures, I'm confused a little bit. Because 1 Thessalonians 5 says you're supposed to pray without ceasing. But in the meantime, am I supposed to pray as if I'm asking permission for everything that I do?
Okay.
You know, I'm asking for direction and guidance. I'm asking for His will to be revealed, for my knowledge to increase. I just feel more confused.
Okay. Lorraine, we're going to, first of all, apologize about your name, but praise the Lord for where the journey you're on, okay? And nobody has arrived. Alex and I are still pilgrims in this strange world. But the scripture you say, pray without ceasing, I want to answer that, Alex, and you go ahead and give Lorraine some more encouraging words. The best illustration I've ever heard of that, I forgot which author it was, guys, but it was an author that said, if you ever had a nagging cough, and it's not that you cough all the time, but every 4 or 5 minutes, there's a cough. There's our prayer, praying without ceasing, mm-hmm. is when things come up, you just, the first thought is to pray. Now, how you pray, Lorraine is saying, do you take everything? You do take everything to the Lord. You go boldly to the throne of grace. Sometimes you don't need to ask why or how. You say how we can do it. You know when. But you have an attitude of prayer, which is also worship, Lorraine. We worship in our prayers. We praise God in our prayers. So, yes, constantly in tune with Him is the word. You stay constantly in tune, and that's your goal. Alex, speak some more to Lorraine.
Well, God bless you, and I commend you in your walk with the Lord and in your desire to grow in the Lord. You know, when 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about praying without ceasing, you know, obviously we can't, you know, keep our head bowed and our eyes closed all day long, because sometimes we have to drive a car, and that would be a little bit dangerous. Another scripture that speaks to this, but you know, Luke 18:1, where Jesus says that we ought to always pray and not to give up. Well, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, stay alert with all perseverance, making supplication. So Ephesians 6 says, pray at all times and stay alert. It's very interesting. In the original language, it literally, the wording says, pray in every season, with all perseverance, always watching, is literally what the Greek says. So in every season, there's seasons of life, there's seasons of the day. And I think it really means a consistent prayer life, that we've got our antenna up, we're hearing from the Lord, we're letting the Spirit direct us, and then in every season, we're bringing our needs to the Lord. We're vigilantly kind of keeping our eyes open and staying alert to the circumstances of the light of the day and the promptings of the Spirit.
You know, over in 2 Chronicles, it talks about if my people, one of those is seek my face, that is constant. Seeking His approval, seeking sure. God's guidance, that's on every situation. Lorraine, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And we're praying that God would direct you. We'll be back with more of your questions right after the break.
So God created man in His own image. He created them male and female. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The Boy Scouts of America have announced that it will now admit girls into its Cub Scout program, and will be pioneering a new scouting program available to older girls. Isn't it interesting that diversity is being used to force unanimity in our society? In the name of diversity, let's get rid of any and all biological distinctions between males and females. The cataclysm in the garden stemmed from Eve's notion that her idea was better than God's. Prideful man is hell-bent on repeating that grave error.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more, from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Many in America seem to have forgotten that its foundation was built on God. In this 40th year celebration of the American Family Association, we invite you to help us remind America once again of the truth behind our national motto, In God We Trust. You can do your part and display your faith with an In God We Trust car decal from the AFA store. Order yours today with free shipping at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning. These are troubling times in the world, but as Christians, we understand that we are not without hope. That's why I am excited to join you each morning here on American Family Radio to dissect the news of the day. Depend on me to keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and beyond, equipping you to fight the good fight wherever you live.
Sandy Rios in the Morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio, impacting lives.
Yes, this is David from Mississippi. I just like to say what a blessing AFR has been to my life and my walk with Christ. I'm 46 years old. I went through a life of 31 years of drug addiction. The last 10 years of crystal meth, which included stays in and out of jail. This last time, jail is where Christ got a hold of me and changed my life. Every single morning, keep my radio on AFR. The music ministry, the program, the speakers there, just such an inspiration to me in my walk with Christ. I've come from a very dark place in my life, but my God is a merciful God. It's a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, and AFR just truly blesses me every single day. God bless you and thank you.
Your partnership makes a difference. Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 17th. Listener-supported American Family Radio. Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. American Family Radio.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see.
Welcome back. We're going to cut that off a little shorter than usual because we've got so many people online. We want to get to as many calls as we can. So let's go to Ohio and talk to Josh. Josh, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've had this question for quite a while. I've got an ESV study Bible. It's got all kinds of charts and maps and different things. And one of the charts has got a chart of Joseph, Jacob's life, and it shows how old he was at like various stages throughout his life. And according to their chart, it says he was 77 when he left his mother and father and went to live with Laban, and then 84 when he married Leah and Rebekah. I guess I always thought he was I always assumed he was a pretty young man when he left Isaiah and Rebekah. And I just want to get your guys' opinion on that, and I'll just hang up and listen.
Okay. Thank you, Josh. Alex, I was trying to think of where I could go to make sure about that. Have you have you got a timeline on Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, he lived to be 147 years old, and I've always, you know, heard that he was, you know, around 83 when he married Leah and Rachel. That's in Genesis 29. So, what I'm thinking is what he's got in his ESV study Bible sounds pretty accurate.
Okay.
I mean, he would have been about 83 years old. I mean, and now, you know, the patriarchs in the Old Testament lived longer than we live today, generally. Well, not generally, actually, they did. So you can read that, and, you know, 83 years old to be finally marrying his dream girl sounds kind of old, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
But he was called by God to, you know, father a nation, and he did. And so... He was able to do that.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Josh. Appreciate that so much. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Micah. Micah, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I listen to you guys' station. I really enjoy it. And I got a question. My question is how can all Christians, I've always been told that, you know, when you, if you're a believer, you go to heaven when you pass away. But as I've been doing a lot of study, and I'm wondering how you go to heaven if there's still yet a resurrection that is supposed to take place. It seems they sort of contradict one another, and I just wonder if maybe you could help me out on that, because I know Paul comforted the Corinthian church on the resurrection to come, and he didn't really comfort them with, you know, you're going to be in heaven after you passed away, not at least right away. So maybe you guys could help me on that.
Okay, thank you. Alex, does the Bible talk about that, like in 1 Corinthians, when it talks about we will be raised and our bodies will be raised and there will be a reunion of the soul and the glorified body one day?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great question, and I think the question really centers around when do we get our glorified body? Now, clearly, you know, to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord, and that's, you know, in 1 Corinthians 5. But we really don't have, as I understand it, you know, definitely when the believer dies, he's in the presence of Christ. But we don't get the final glorified body that we're going to have throughout all of eternity at that point. The glorified body that we're going to get, I understand that the church, all believers will receive their eternal glorified body all at once, really. But yet, are we definitely with the Lord? Absolutely. But the exact state of our, you know, body, I don't think we'll be disembodied like just a ghost in heaven. We'll definitely be in the presence of Christ, and it is a corporeal, physical, literal place. But the glorified body that we'll have throughout all of eternity comes at some future later point.
I would say, Michael, the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus appeared, and there we find out Moses and Elijah both appeared with him, and there had to be some kind of a body experience there. And I know they're Old Testament saints, but they're, you know, they, it seems like there is a, I don't know if you'd say phase one and then phase two with the glorified bodies, Alex, you know.
Well, yeah, I hate to say temporary.
Yeah.
So let me say this. Your loved ones that have passed on and were believers are definitely in the presence of Christ. But, you know, it does talk about in, you know, 1 Corinthians 15 that, you know, we will, this mortal will put on immortal, this corruptible body will put on incorruption. Then, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 4 says the dead in Christ will rise first.
Right.
And so we will be given this glorified immortal body. So is the body you're in heaven now a temporary body? I think this, what we know about eternity, it seems to come in stages. And the fact is, the believers are in heaven with Christ, but the church is still being built down here. We're still in what you might call the church age. And we get our glorified bodies, our eternal glorified body that we'll enjoy forever at the return of Christ.
Amen. Let me say one statement, then we'll go to the next caller. Just like this life, the Christian life, the journey down here is an adventure, the future will also be an adventure. That part will not. Yes, it's different, but it still will be adventure. And not knowing everything about it, we know we'll be there. We know we'll be in His presence. We know the tears are going to be wiped away, but there's still some areas there that's going to be adventurous, and we're going to be amazed. So keep that in mind, Mike. I don't think God intended for us to know every bit of that. And so enjoy the venture when we get there, adventure. Okay, let's go to Arkansas and talk to Brian. Brian, welcome to Exploring the Word. Brian, are you there? Okay.
I'm here.
Go ahead, brother.
Thank you, guys. Hope you guys are having a good day. A couple of things. The lady that called about the NFL kneeling and that sort of thing, you know, saying those guys are kneeling because of their reverence for the Lord is like saying that the homosexuals are waving the the flag of a rainbow around, because they also, you know, are respecting what God did for Noah and showing him that after the flood. So anyway, it was kind of surprised me that somebody had thought in that direction. But you guys, on the 2 minutes with Tony that you have at some of your breaks, or I guess one of your breaks throughout your show, you played it a couple of times, and I'm not real sure where this comes from or how even accurate it is, but it talks about that the angels, I can't say it verbatim, of course, but much to the effect that angels wait on us to, I guess, speak or maybe even command them before they move and do things for us. Now, that's probably butchering that pretty bad, but I didn't, and I'm guessing this is the same pastor that signed on to this letter that they sent to Trump. And I don't know. I know we're all fallible, and I'm as much as anybody for sure could say the wrong thing at the wrong time. But I didn't know if maybe you guys could expound on that, or if you
okay.
even.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try, Brian. I don't know if you've ever read, and Alex, I don't know if you have, you know, read the book, This Present Darkness, and so forth. But he brought a whole, and there's some biblical evidence of what he's talking about, Brian. In that book, he uses some biblical illustrations about the angels ready to respond to God's people, but God's people must come. They're messengers from God, and they've got a message, but God's people've got to get their hearts right in order to receive what God has, just like the Word of God. You can read the Word of God, and it's quick and powerful and any two-edged sword, but once you get the sin out and it's confessed and you're ready to receive the Word of God. With matter of fact, it says, welcome the Word of God with all readiness of mind. If they're angels and they're messengers of God, Alex, I would say sometimes we may need to do the same thing with them as we do the Word of God, get ourselves in a position for those angels to respond. I think that's what I understood Tony to say. Now, that's mine. Go ahead, brother.
Well, Hebrews 1 verse 14 talks about some of the angels are ministering spirits sent to serve the heirs of salvation. Now, how do they serve us? You know, I think we don't fully understand all the ways that invisibly around us angels really do serve. I mean, I think Christians have been protected by angels. The Bible talks about, you know, many have entertained angels unaware, literally encountered an angel and they didn't know it. So I do think angels are active in this world, protecting, directing, intervening. However, I want to stand against a teaching that floats around out there that Christians somehow have the authority to command angels. I just don't see that. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, spiritual realities and things that are invisible, but I really would caution people from lapsing into kind of a superstitionism that we have the ability to call the shots, as it were, or command mm-hmm. angels. The angels, you know, the Bible sometimes calls Jesus the captain of the Lord's host. The commander-in-chief of the angelic armies is Jesus, not us.
Amen. And I still go back to this, and I agree with you. I agree, man. God's the one that overrules and rules over them. And what we have with these, you look at the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, the chief objective was to convey to humans. Now, again, we've got the Word of God, so we don't need a lot of that, but they still carry for God. They're God's messengers, Alex. Mm-hmm. They're under His dominion. They're under His control. So that would, you know, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what all Tony said, but praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit is in us. Don't ask the angels to do what the Holy Spirit is doing already.
And we don't pray to angels. We don't try to communicate with angels. In Scripture, all of the all that we read about angels, that God calls the shots and they do the Lord's bidding. You know, Jesus talks about when the Son of Man comes in His glory and His angels with Him. So just, be careful. I mean, we have so much position and blessing and authority in Christ anyway. Be careful about taking that too far.
Amen. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to John. John, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I greatly appreciate you all doing so. I don't have any kind of political statements or any of that to make. I just had a question that I guess stemmed from a previous caller. I believe thoroughly in God. I love the Lord. I love my Christ. I'm grateful for the life He quite literally saved. But being very honest with you, gentlemen, I've not lived the most upright life since then. And forgive me, I'm trying to find a moment to get a quiet place. I read a bit of some scripture out of Hebrews 6 that maybe you all are familiar with, and frankly, it just it frightens me pretty significantly. I wonder, does that mean where it speaks about how it's impossible for us to be called again unto repentance, that that I can't be for the things I've done since salvation?
Okay, we do not have a lot of time, Alex. We've talked about this before, and I just want to tell you, John, by you and the Spirit by which you're coming unto, you have not passed all the things that we know about the Word of God, Alex. When mm-hmm. we hear John saying what he's doing, it sounds like the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with him, and he has not passed that point. Would you say that as well?
Exactly. Listen, I want to thank you for caring about your soul, really. And, you know, James chapter 4 talks about the Spirit yearns jealously over you. And if you're concerned about where you stand with Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit drawing you. And if I hear you, you might feel like you're afraid. You know, Hebrews 6 talks about those that are not able to be restored to repentance because they've sinned and fallen away. They've known about Jesus but rejected him. Let me say, I don't believe you've committed the unpardonable sin, because, for one thing, you're still in the land of the living. If you're alive and conscious and able to think and reason and respond to the promptings of God, you can be saved. And also, we don't have time to fully unpack what is meant by the Mark and Matthew passages on the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, Mark 3:28. I really believe the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was something that only people in that day could have committed. And we've talked about that. I've written an article about it. There's an article about it on my website, alexmcfarland.com. So, unpardonable sin? No. If you are concerned about your soul, that's proof that the Spirit of God is beckoning to you, and you're able to recognize that. So do this. Turn to Jesus. Believe that He is the Son of God. He paid for your sins on the cross. You're sorry for your sins. You're going to repent. You're going to say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. And He will receive you. He's promised that if you'll turn to Him, He'll receive you. Do that today.
Do that, John. Do that. Make sure. Don't go on speculation. If you do not have that assurance, you get that assurance by coming to Jesus Christ and surrendering openly and giving yourself to Him.
Take Him at His word.
Take Him at His word. Believe Him. He loves you and cares for you. Alex, hope things go good in Texas this weekend, brother.
Amen. Folks, go to church on Sunday and try to take somebody with you.
Amen. We'll be at Friendship Baptist Church. I'll be preaching there in Ecru, Mississippi. It's between New Albany and Pontotoc, for those that don't know where it is. We'd love to see you there and just worshiping the Lord together. We hope you have a great weekend, a great Sunday, as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.